This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Did we say swish of the net?
We did not. We missed that one.
That's a big one for a lot of people.
Probably because I sucked at basketball and it just didn't happen for me enough. But yes, it is a fun sound.
What about the putt going in the cup? That's the best sound, says one texter.
I like the hard swing better, just connecting with that driver.
Here's a guy who says, not sports, but good. I like boots walking on gravel. I love that sound. Okay.
Never thought about that one, actually.
Well, our new big sports crisis question is, with mid-majors getting gutted by the transfer portal and NIL, and traditional Cinderella going away, what do we do with our rooting interest in the NCAA tournament? This is the big crisis now, okay? Because it's different. Cinderella is just not what she used to be. So other than the great American pastime of just bitching about it, which most people just want to do that, I would ask the question, how do we adapt to the new landscape? Well, I think there's a lot of ways. First, some facts. I was reading about Florida Atlantic, who made a Cinderella run just two tournaments ago.
Yes.
In 2023.
They were quite the surprising team, and a lot of talent on that team for such a small school.
Yeah, and that's what I was getting at. Their coach is now the coach at Michigan, who is in the Sweet 16. The star player on that FAU team is Vlad Golden, who is at Michigan with the coach. And two other players from that FAU team. One is at Florida, Elijah Martin, who is in the Sweet 16 and a number one seed. And another is at Arkansas, John L. Davis. Those guys were all on that Florida Atlantic team in 2023. So you see how NIL and the transfer portal is changing college basketball. That is one example. Here are a couple of other anecdotes. There are more players from Texas Tech starting at Michigan than players from Texas Tech starting at Texas Tech. I'm going to repeat that. There are more players from Texas Tech starting at Michigan than players from Texas Tech starting at Texas Tech. Thank you.
I think I got that. Transfer portal's ruining it all, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I didn't say ruin, but it's changing. There are three schools in the Sweet 16 who have starting fives that are all transfers. All five are transfers. One is Michigan, as you probably guessed. One is Arizona, and the third is Kentucky. And if you look further, 9 of the 16 Sweet 16 teams start at least 4 transfers. That's crazy. So these teams are just, they're just being built differently. This is the new era. So what do? Do we define a new Cinderella? I mean, if you look at this Sweet 16, I could give you one that stands out as a Cinderella, and it's not even the team that's a 10 seed. Because to me, the 10 seed is Arkansas. That should be the Cinderella because they're the highest seed. They're coached by John Calipari. That's not a Cinderella. To me, it's BYU. So can we just define what a Cinderella is now and say teams like BYU, one, they've never won a title. Two, they have an unknown coach. Three, they have an unknown star. And they were unranked in the preseason, and here they are. So the idea being, look, there are always underdogs that aren't supposed to win. Is that the new Cinderella? We just have to think about it differently. Could one argue that the teams with the most turnover that still get to this point have done the best job? So you could root for Michigan. You know, quite frankly, Michigan is an interesting story and like the shining example of today's college basketball. Coach is in his first year, completely new starting five. None of them were at Michigan last year. Same with Kentucky. Those two coaches have done a great job. And I can tell you they've done a great job because one, they're in the Sweet 16. But two, they had great seasons. While Bill Self is struggling to make the transfers all work, even when he has three guys that have been there for forever, and he couldn't make it work, they were a mess this year. So maybe the new normal is the team and coach that is able to make it all work within a season. That's how we define who we root for. I don't know. Yes, it's more brand names. Which we secretly like. Let's make no mistake that we never really, I mean, the Cinderella's great on the first weekend, but we want the bigger names as we proceed in the tournament. They get better ratings. That's been proven. But there are more brand names that are, you know, but there are still reasons to count them out. I guess let's put it that way. So is that enough for us to create a different rooting interest? So here's the team of the Sweet 16 teams that if you hate this current state of college sports, you should be rooting for. It's Purdue. And I know that Purdue was in the final last year, and they're very good this year. They're not thought of as some plucky underdog. I get that. But realize that of the Sweet 16, they are the only one that has a starting five that all five players began their journey at that school. Purdue is the only one. Nobody else. So if you dislike the way college sports is going, look no further than Purdue. They've all been there. And by the way, here's another little fun fact about Purdue. Four of the five of their starters are from Indiana. So you should root for that, right? Shouldn't people who hate this new era of college sports get behind that? You know, it's really the SEC teams that are leaning the hardest into the portal and NIL and free agency. And it's really, it's worked. I mean, they're now the best country or the best league in the country. Just, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, they were a joke. And a lot of their coaches left because they hated playing second fiddle to football. Well, that's changed because they've leaned into NIL and they have rabid fan bases who can help step up and help them pay for some of these NIL deals. So that's how the SEC's gotten so good so fast. They're really leaning into it. So to me, I just think we have to recalibrate who we get behind and why. Traditional Cinderella is gone. But we didn't love those traditional teams anyway, quite frankly. The ratings are better when it's the brand names. And side note, TV ratings for the first two rounds this year, highest since 1993. Average viewership for the second round was 9.4 million. People are watching, even though it's different. So, you know, to you, I'd say get behind BYU. Get behind Purdue. Get behind, here's another one, Michigan State. And I know Michigan State is a traditional elite. They haven't always been, but Tom Izzo has made them that. And, well, I guess they were before that, weren't they? Was it Judd Heathcote? Anyway, Izzo, here's an interesting fact about Izzo. He's still trying to build it the old way. They have four of their five starters who have been at Michigan State. They have one transfer in the starting five. But the fun fact about Izzo is, of all the coaches in the country, he has won the most tournament games as a lower seed than his opponent. This goes all the way back to 1979. Tom freaking Izzo, who's an elite coach, elite program, but who would have thought he is one? He's the guy that's won the most tournament games as the lower seed. So get behind him, and get behind that. Maybe you can get behind Dusty May and what he's done in a year. There are good point is there are good stories. They're not as fairy tale as Cinderella, but they're good nonetheless. There are still favorites. There are still big underdogs. There are still heroes. There are still villains. There are still big personalities. And there are still buzzer beaters. It's all still there. It's just different. Is it worse? Maybe, maybe not. It's just different. We'll adapt. We always do. Some will do it kicking and screaming. But the ratings are up. And I think as the tournament moves past this Thursday and Friday, you get to the Elite Eight and the Final Four this weekend and next weekend, you're going to get some dynamite games because there are some really good basketball teams playing this weekend and Thursday and Friday. So that's a little March Madness talk for you guys today. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Nice March Madness potpourri.
I'm out of here. Oh, wait, I can't leave.
90 more minutes.
All right, Juju Smith-Watkins. I'm just kidding. It's Juju Watkins. But I always want to say Juju Smith-Watkins.
Yeah, when you hear Juju, that's probably...
Or can we call her Juju Watkins-Schuster?
I don't think she'd be a fan of that, but I don't know. The first one's funnier, I guess.
Well, she goes down, and it's not good. Shocking sports injuries. Next on The Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive. Combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
They got Wilson and Jameis. I just saw Pete Prisco tweeting that the Giants quarterback situation gets worse by the year. I beg to differ. I think that they have improved their quarterback situation this year with those two. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to be great, but I think that is an improvement.
I mean, I know they gave Daniel Jones way too much money, but Russell Wilson is not worse than Daniel. I don't know if they're just like wearing the Giants colored glasses or what.
Yeah, and I think maybe they're trying to say, you know, you could do better than Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, and you certainly could, but not at this stage of the game. I guess if you got Rodgers, but now it sounds like, you know, Rodgers, the Vikings, you know, the Vikings still may be in this for Rodgers.
Which is just so weird. They said no already, didn't they?
Well, that was the report.
Yeah.
That they were moving on, but...
This is also why I don't know if this is actually the team saying this or this is just another reporter trying to get their name out there, you know, with something of substance.
What do you mean? The Vikings report?
Yeah. First off, we already heard that the Vikings had turned them down. Now we're hearing, you know, with J.J. McCarthy not being told yet that he's the franchise quarterback. And by the way, that's the way he wants it. He wants to earn it every day, which, okay, buddy. I'd want to be told so I could prepare and just know that that's going to happen. But... I don't know, man. If you a couple of weeks later, you want to try to drum up some controversy, you want to get some clicks, like this is the perfect kind of a news story to get clicks. Oh, Aaron Rodgers, come summertime, may still be an option for the Vikings. It's, you know, just not quite closing that door. And it just, you know, leads to more anonymous sources, quote unquote, telling you crap that's not actually true. So,
okay, well, we'll just wait, see what happens with Rodgers. I have more, dude. It's been a breaking news type of show.
Oh my gosh, another
one? I have
more.
Okay.
This is breaking news.
So, the news broke earlier that we had Russell Wilson to the Giants.
Yes, sir.
We had Stephon Diggs to the Patriots. Now, Chris Haynes is reporting that Milwaukee Bucks star Damian Lillard will be out indefinitely after being diagnosed with a blood clot in his calf.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That is awful.
He's on blood thinners.
So he's gone for 6 months.
They said he'll continue to get regular testing to get him back to good health. That's from Haynes.
I mean, we just heard this with Victor Wembanyama, and I understand he's 7'3", and Chris Bosh was also a taller player as well. But unfortunately, blood clots are not uncommon amongst NBA players. You know, they're just bigger guys, and they have medical procedures way more than the average person. And you are literally out, we just heard this, with Wembanyama, 6 months. So Damian Lillard now is done for the next six calendar months. So he won't be back until, and I'm talking like any basketball activity able to do that until the end of September.
Thanks a lot, Fauci.
Sure. Sounds so MAGA, I love
it. True story.
I am MAGA. What's it to you?
I bet you are, Mr. Travis Matthews wearing hat. Those guys don't strike me as MAGA guys, but...
So here's Lillard's quote. This was to Chris Haynes. It's unfortunate that something outside of my control would come up. Along with the Bucks medical staff, our priorities are to protect my health and safety. As much as I love basketball, I need to be there for my kids and my family. I'm grateful the Bucks acted quickly on this. They've been supportive and proactive throughout this process. I look forward to moving past this and continuing my career. So he's done. And like you said, and...
Yeah, it says indefinitely on the report, so...
Yeah.
That's because, 6 months.
Well, we talked about this with Wimby as well. You know, these blood clots... Well, first of all, it's very scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is not something to mess with. So, and then you go on the blood thinners, which you have to because you don't want to clot and die. There are a lot of different reasons why you can get a blood clot, and some of the reasons are worse than others, meaning some of them mean you should never play basketball again or never be off blood thinners, and others are a little bit more mundane and can clear up.
Yeah.
We just don't know with Lillard. So, man, and Milwaukee wasn't doing much anyway, right? Aren't they like fifth in the East or something?
Yeah, they're so mid. But I mean,
why are they so mid? I don't understand. Of course, I don't watch them.
I mean, we were talking about it a little bit in our last branded report, but I think that the loss of Jrue Holiday, and obviously Chris Middleton's not on that team anymore. He is, but he's not producing the same way that he was when they won the championship. Just trying to shift to different personnel and trying to find that defense in the backcourt somewhere else, because I love Damian Lillard. I'm Damian's biggest fan, but. And I don't think the Trailblazers should have traded him, but we all know that he's not a defensive first point guard. That's what Jrue Holiday gave the Bucks, and I feel like that was a huge drop-off. And I wondered, honestly, moving on from Jrue Holiday, the guy that won you a title at that point guard position, yeah, it's smart to go get one of the best point guards of all time, but if you already won like that, like, why are you messing with anything? I obviously didn't want Dame to be traded, but I questioned how the move would affect them in the first place because he is a totally different point guard. And you saw last season, Rob, him and Giannis took, 4 months to gel? Yeah, their record was okay at times, but that was because other guys were stepping up and Brooke Lopez was hitting threes for you. At some point, though, I don't know, you're just not getting that defense, and I think it's going to hurt you.
It's all fair. Jrue Holiday is one of the more underrated players in the league.
Absolutely.
If not the most. I think by now he's gotten his due, but he's awesome. And you're right, two totally different guys, and Lillard need the ball more. But, you know, listen, man, if I'm going to give you Damian Lillard, Doc Rivers, and Giannis, I mean, and I think we all felt this when that trade went down, you'll take that. Those three guys can make that work, right? Because they're all of the ilk of they're high IQ basketball guys. Doc's a good coach, although I know some people would scoff at that. But come on, he's a good coach. He's choked.
Well, it was Adrian Griffin first. Remember?
No, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think midway through.
Well, that's fair.
Because when he came over, it was Adrian Griffin.
But they were better with Adrian Griffin.
They were.
They were awesome with Adrian Griffin.
30-13 before Griffin got fired.
Yeah, they fired him.
He also yelled at Terry Stotts, you know, to get
over
in the huddle.
Nobody yells at Terry.
Nobody yells at Terry, bro. It's obviously not. I mean, even with Doc coming in experience, but like, when's the last time he won a title? Oh, wait, right?
I know, but listen, I'm just saying, if I gave you a coach with a pedigree of Doc Rivers, let's put it that way.
Okay, I understand.
I'll give you a coach with the pedigree of Doc Rivers. You have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is not difficult to deal with. He's a team guy. He's a star. He's in his prime. And then you add Damian Lillard, who is also a team guy. He understands the game. He's not a me-first guy. He's not a selfish guy. He's not a pain in the ass. You put those three things together, stunning that it would not work. And yet, it has not worked. Absolutely stunning.
Yeah, and it's funny because the East is a lot easier, right? Like, the West is more of a meat grinder, so you would think that Milwaukee, and that's, I thought what Dame was talking about going to the East, thought, oh, maybe it's going to be a little bit easier here to get to the NBA Finals rather than fighting through the Warriors and everyone else in the Lakers.
Them into the Finals.
Exactly.
And, I mean, well, I guess, you know, then you get the Suns. Now, see, the Suns are a little different because you got Durant, Booker, you know, you got a hodgepodge of guys that, you know, can maybe have a tendency to be a little bit more me first or harder to gel with. But that, not with Lillard and Giannis. Crazy, man.
Yeah, I mean, supporting cast is big, though. And
that's true.
I don't know who else. I mean, like, Pat Connaughton was one of your backups until last year. Like, I just don't know how deep the Bucks are, you know, when it comes late in the season or into the playoffs. Like, how much experience do those guys have in those moments? Because beyond Giannis and, you know, Dame got to the Western Conference Finals.
But it's worse than that. It's deeper than that. Like, they just aren't very good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that starts with attitude in the locker room, too. And it doesn't sound like everything's been going well there. I don't think when Doc took over last season, everything immediately became better in the locker room.
Well, who's the problem?
That's a great question, man. I wish I had an insight to, like, a Milwaukee beat reporter.
Do they not get along? Is Giannis harder to deal with than I'm giving him? I don't know. Anyway, blood clot for Damian Lillard. Not good. And yes, as somebody texted in, Jerome Kersey, that's what got him.
I know. Rest in peace. I thought of that, too. That was after a surgery for Jerome Kersey.
It was.
Did Dame have a procedure recently?
I don't know.
I know, like you said, there's multiple ways for this to happen, but as a lover of Damian Lillard, this crushes me. This really sucks, and I hope he recovers as quickly as possible.
All right, we'll empty out the Tuesday Tickle Trunk next on The Fan. You're the guy who put, the quarter pounder or something in the top 10
burgers. The double cheeseburger.
I mean, come on.
The McDonald's double cheeseburger.
Come on, dude.
It's priced right. It's like $2.89, whatever. Actually, it's gone up since then.
You put it in the top 10 burgers in Portland.
Because I think in the country, actually. I think you're not giving me enough credit for screwing that one up, buddy. Yeah. I went hard.
You sure did. I respect it.
Thanks, man.
Go yes, Duckies. The Tickle Trunk. We lost Juju Watkins last night to injury. She went down in a heap, torn ACL. Big blow to the women's tournament because she's the star for USC. Second leading scorer in NCAA history in the first two seasons. I mean, she was awesome.
Yeah, that's one of the big names, man. That really sucks when your draws. That's like if Caitlin Clark went down last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh my God. Like the NCAA tournament for the women's everyone had been like, oh, I want to watch, but
Caitlin Clark is white.
Yes, she is. And she's damn good.
Can you think of what? So I was thinking about this last night. I saw this. They were talking about it on SportsCenter or something. And, you know, I mean, it didn't matter to me as I'm not watching really much of the NCAA tournament. And I feel bad for her, but I just, you know, like it's a shock. It's a big injury. It's a shocking injury.
Yeah.
What is the most shocking sports injury that you can remember?
Ooh, really good question. I watched Joel Zamaya throw out his arm. Remember the Detroit Tigers pitcher?
Yeah,
tossed like 100 miles an hour. One of the hardest throwers in baseball at the time, and I believe he threw his arm out twice. But I was watching; it was maybe 2005, 2006, or 2007. But in one of those years, Zamaya just in a normal outing out of the bullpen, you know, an out or two in, just you could hear a crack in his arm, and you knew something wasn't right, and he looked like he was in a lot of pain. And I just, I hate seeing that. It's just gross because he's basically just snapping his arm off. So
yeah, you know, I saw that in Old Man Baseball. Did I ever tell you that? I mean, I've talked about it on the air, but I was out in, I think I was in center field one night for the Mighty Barons.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
let's go.
Right. Let's do go.
Rob center fielder. So you're stealing bases for your team as well.
I was pretty fast.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, I could steal some. I got some bags.
Let's go.
So I was out in center field, and I'll never forget the sound. But my, you know, one of our guys is pitching, young guy that he was like the cousin of one of the guys on the team, and we got him as a pitch. You know, you're always looking for pitching in leagues like that. He came out of the, you know, off the, it just he just didn't, he hadn't played much, and he came and pitched for us. Yeah, exactly, dude. His arm snapped. All I saw was the ball go high right into the net, like towards the. I think Schultze just threw up.
That was, well, I just thought of that. It reminds me of that. I think it was Mike Saunders for the Tampa Bay Rays. Don't go watch it, but it is on YouTube, where the ball just goes flying out to like the left, and he's already doubled over in pain.
It's like he tried to throw it into the stands over the third base dugout. He was a righty. And dude, I will never forget the sound. It sounded like this. Like I'm gonna recreate it for you. This is what I was hearing in center field. Over the fan fervor, of course, because there's so many people watching us because we're so good. You know the Barons, very popular.
Oh, yeah, the seven people that are drunk, not even knowing what they're watching, sure.
Seven.
More like two.
Two. No, dude, it sounded like this.
Oh!
Seriously, that's what I heard in center field. I just heard that and the ball go flying, and he goes down in a heap, ambulance 5 minutes later.
Thank God.
It was nuts.
You need to morphine that guy up immediately.
Dude, I felt terrible for him.
He must have been in so much pain.
Yeah, I mean, he was.
The amount, I've heard it feels like flames just all over your arm. And
I can confirm he was in pain.
My God.
Okay, so you have the Joe Theismann and all the leg snaps.
Yeah, the quarterback leg snaps are not good.
Well, it's not even quarterback. You know, like Napoleon Kaufman, and there have been a lot of leg snaps.
I mean, if you want it, shocking NFL injuries, like I know a player in the 40s like died on the field right after taking a hit. Or maybe it was the 50s. Oh, it was like a wide receiver.
Well, you know, there's a hit by pitch death. Did
yes,
you know
there
that?
Is way yeah, back in the
way
day.
Back. I think it was like in the, I don't know, 30s or something.
And I'm talking about Chuck Hughes. Yeah, he played for the Eagles and Detroit Lions. And he was injured in a preseason game, collapsed in the locker room, and then basically internal bleeding. Hit some organs and unfortunately passed away. So terrible situation there.
Yeah, somebody text Pharaoh Brown.
Oh my God.
Hyperextended his knee so bad he almost died. That was a bad one. I remember that one. Dave Dravecki, someone mentioned. Bo Jackson was a big one in my memory when he got hurt. Of course, I'm old.
Yeah, I've seen that one a little bit before my time.
Well, that was such a... And I say shocking sports injuries because of... It's not just about the injury, it's about who it is. And like when Bo Jackson went down, I was like, oh no.
I mean, honestly, I would throw the recent Tua Tagovailoa concussions into the mix just because of how awful they look. And when you're doing that fencing position and you're seeing it happen for like the third and then the fourth time to the same guy. I mean, I know after that last one this season, Rob, everybody in the NFL, like fans, owners, coaches were holding their breath because it's just like, he can't take another one of these. So I would call that shocking.
Watching Damar Hamlin having CPR was pretty traumatic, says one of our texters.
That is a great one. That is
very
a great
true.
Point. Yeah.
Very true.
A great one to throw into the conversation.
Well, what about Rodgers' injury? I mean, popping his Achilles the first game?
Yeah, but that's not as... Like, you see it, but it's not as gross. I think, like, you think of, like, shocking injuries. Remember Sean Livingston completely blowing out not only his knee, but, like, the entire lower half of his leg?
Well, that was the leg snap. Yeah, that goes in the leg snap category.
So it does go in the leg snap category.
I mean, yeah, it was a gruesome leg snap.
But it was ACL, MCL, whatever the other CL is in there. I'm pretty sure his Achilles was effed up. Like, everything that you could mess up in your leg, he did. In fact, I'm pretty sure he almost lost it.
Rutgers, bro. Paralyzed.
Oh, yeah. Anybody paralyzed, like college football or the NFL.
Here's another one.
Kevin Everett. Bills tight end back in the day. I think he was at least temporarily paralyzed after getting hit on a kick return.
Oh, damn.
This was like 2009, 2010.
What about the dude, the hockey bro, Clint Malarchuk, who got his throat slashed by a freaking skate?
And he
started bleeding out on the ice.
And he was saved by the trainer pinching his freaking artery close. Well, then the one that actually did die last year or two ago, Adam Johnston.
He died on the ice?
Yeah. Remember? He got hit by, it was like a minor league hockey player that had played in the NHL.
Really?
Yes.
Died on the ice.
Adam Johnson, not Johnston, excuse me. Yeah, I mean, it was brutal. The clip circulated around social media for quite a while, but basically the same way that Clint Malarchuk got it done to him, but some people allegedly say that the defender, Matt Petgrave, intentionally stuck his skate up in the air and hit just right into the neck of Adam Johnson.
He died,
and he was only 29 years old. He literally collapsed on the ice.
I don't remember that at all.
And I'm pretty sure that's where the video cut off. You could kind of see the referee kind of going over to help him, and he starts to kind of fall on his knees, and that's where the video cuts, but it's awful.
And they said, I was just Googling that. I guess some guy got arrested for murder?
Yeah, that's what, so Matt Petgrave, the defenseman that allegedly did this on purpose, we don't know. He said he hasn't, but when you watch the video, is a defenseman that's known for kicking his legs up a lot, it certainly doesn't look unintentional, if that makes sense. You don't want to hit a guy in the neck, but this is a guy that had his skates up in the air a lot. So that's why I'm trying to be careful, use the word allegedly here, but he has been arrested, although it's funny, Rob, they didn't name the person that was arrested. They just said somebody was arrested. But we all know, probably, it's allegedly this defenseman, Adam Petgrave.
Wow. How about that? No good. Okay, well, let's get on to the club.
Let's talk about some more fun stuff, please. My God.
Yeah. I have a little sports thing, and then we'll talk about what restaurant you'd want in your house. Because this actually happened. And I'm not talking about Devontae Adams.
Yeah, it was like, no Devontae Taco Bell? No?
No. I've got a dog question. The cure for aging. We've got a lot to get to. Stay with us. The club is next on The Fan.